woke up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Oh. Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
Oh, it's, it's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... That's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Well, welcome back to Dr. Jack. Dr. Marley, Mr. Matt Weber, and his new pupil, Ms. Audrey Jansen, on the board. See how that goes. Audrey's also a real estate expert, but she decided she wanted to learn how to run the board as well. So I think she always thought she was jealous of Maddie being a producer. I don't know about that so much. S&P futures, like I said, down 375, Dow futures down 38, Nasdaq futures down 8. Interesting day yesterday, up and down all over the place again. Not as big a move as on Monday. Of course, Monday was a 600-point, 550-point move from top to bottom. That's a real number. And we had, but yesterday was like a smaller version of that, but clearly not the same. And Monday was one I haven't seen in a while. We were up 20 S&Ps. I say if you watched it or listened to the show yesterday, we're up 20 S&Ps, went down as much as 35. So that's a 55-point move, which is 2%. And we rallied on the close to finish only down 13, which is somewhat right in the middle, I guess. Now, yesterday we were up, we were down, and we ducked down a little bit on the close. We had GE was a big mover down, as they claim they're going to have negative cash flow in 2019. And I will say this, for all the... In my lifetime, there haven't been a whole hell of a lot of stocks that you could just stick with for a lifetime. When I was very young, the Nifty 50, well, I was very, very young. I mean, I don't even remember. I guess IBM was always one you could stick with. Kevin, how are you?
Good morning.
What's so good about it? It is pretty good so far.
Oh, everything's good. Everything's good. I'm counting down to spring break, man, and I need it.
I need some. Maddie Weber had his chance this morning. There we were at the Dunkin' Donuts. His chance. The young lady in front of us is wearing one of those high-end $1,000 coats and looked to me like the same size as his girlfriend. He could have made his move, and I would have kept quiet, you know. But he didn't. He was a...
So you're saying Matt had his chance to steal it, huh?
Well, it's been happening all over the place. Somebody jumped out of a Mercedes a few weeks ago and bopped somebody on the head and took their coat.
Well, that's interesting.
But guess what this young lady did?
That kind of harkens back to the days of people, robbing others for their Air Jordans. So yeah. I guess it's probably the same thieves. They've just moved, you know, they've gotten older and their tastes have changed.
Yes, Air Jordans and... didn't the Gucci purses go for a while, too, when they first came out?
Probably.
So guess what this young lady did, Kevin, just to make your day. It was sort of a pain in the ass for us, because all of a sudden she fishes out the credit card and buys a $25 gift card. And I'm thinking, wow, why didn't she think of that sooner? Because we're, of course, in a hurry. She turns around and hands it to the homeless guy in the place. And with a cup of
that is nice.
With a cup of coffee. So you know what? Just sort of made our day, to be honest with you.
You know what? Once in a while you do run across something that is kind of restores your faith in humanity, doesn't it?
Yes. On the other hand, this election is already starting to aggravate me, the one coming up for president.
Yeah, well, like, that's going to get way better eventually.
Is it? Why isn't it possible in this world? I know this is just a a former middle class, former middle something something kind of guy. Why can't we just have somebody in the middle that says, by the way, we have the right system, it's not perfect, and we have some real clunkers in it that need to be fixed, and we're just going to fix them instead of going flying totally one way or the one way where we're going to change it and become the socialist and everybody's got a dime's got to pay, give money to somebody else, or on the other side, everybody who's got a dime is actually, you know, should be deified and make sure they never lose any money, and should get all their taxes dropped to zero and so forth. Why can't there be somebody in the middle that just fixes the damn thing?
Is not allowed. Sorry.
Not allowed?
Because that's not who votes in primaries.
I guess. I mean, this whole idea of this transfer, transfer tax to stop the high frequency trading. Kevin, to stop the high frequency trading, all you need to do is ban payment for order flow and say that your minimum tick is a penny and no trades can take place between the penny. All the crap takes place between the bid and ask, because those are the only people that can do it. How they ever allowed them to do that in the first place, I have no idea.
You know, there is just a habit, especially in government, to over-engineer solutions.
No, they always give something to somebody they shouldn't have. I'll say the minimum tick. See, I think what most people aren't quite getting the ramifications of what I'm talking about here. Let's pick a minimum tick at a nickel. That means that if Kevin O'Neill or Audrey Johnson or Matt Weber or maybe the chief wants to either buy or sell XYZ stock at $60.50, you might even be able to prioritize which we used to do on a Cboe floor. You might actually be able to prioritize the customer offer at that price before a professional can get it if you wanted to. Or give them the same chance as somebody else. But you would never think that if the minimum tick is a nickel, meaning you either had to buy it at 60 and sell it at 60.05, that you'd give a few people the ability to trade it at 04 or 1. So they could jump ahead of the person who's offered it at 05 or the person who's $60 bid. What manner of moron or sleazebag thought that up and rammed it through? I have no idea, Kevin. That is an abomination to everything we've ever, any principle I've ever known in our business. And yet it happens every day, all day, all day. We can't remember the last time we had a fill for a client that was at the number. It wasn't 999 or four decimal points in the middle. The entire high frequency trading, the entire payment for order flow, the entire preferencing, the entire need for 17 exchanges to do God knows what, is all based on that one principle that some people get a chance to trade between and other people don't. Now, why can't we just fix that? Instead of...
Too easy, sorry.
People looking
because,
at it...
Because complicated rules favor the big guy.
Right.
Always.
So now...
If you over-engineer this in such a way, it's the easiest way to favor someone with the outcomes of the change.
Well, but it also leaves you open, the industry open, the honest people in the industry, which I like to put myself in that column. It leaves you open to the people that have now dominated the business, and you've got this guy who runs Citadel. I keep forgetting his name. We wrote $2 million checks to Bill Daley, basically out of the chump change checkbook. The money being made by these people in the middle here, Kevin, that get the rules different than everybody else. I will say this about the AOCs of the world. Their solutions to me are all screwed up. But they're not wrong in looking at this industry and saying, wow, five people are making $1 million a day and never have a losing day. What the bleep, over? Something's wrong.
Well, I've said that in the past about Bernie Sanders. In many aspects of policy, he has the right diagnosis. He just has the wrong treatment.
Right. I mean, I doubt very much if these people would look at a floor of 2,000 competing people and saying they're all making, you know, 125 grand a year, which still is a lot of money, or at least it was back then, and saying, God, this is all wrong. I mean, you look at this and you got to, I mean, to look at these four big banks paying people no interest and making $90 bazillion a year with bonuses out the bazoo, you sit there and go, wow, what happened here? This doesn't sound right. I mean, whatever cure they come up with is going to be, I'm sure, short-sighted and not well thought out. But the initial part is, that guy's limping. We better fix his leg. No, you're not touching me with a scalpel. You know what you're doing. But the initial part is, the guy's limping. There must be something wrong with his leg. It's not inaccurate. Just saying.
And the solution goes wrong is, you get someone like Bernie Sanders, and, he's laid out Medicare for all, and said, we'll just, have the wealthy pay their fair share and corporations pay their fair share. The problem is that you can confiscate 100% of the profits of the Fortune 500 companies and still not pay for that.
I do have a question. Maybe this is more of a Carl question, or hell, maybe more Carl. If on the cost side, if everybody went in, if an individual went in and say he had a, an appendectomy, if he got the Medicare cost basis of that, or he had his insurance through the government and met the Medicare rates, how much would he save? In other words, how much would you gain? I'm not for this, by the way, so before anybody starts tweeting in, how much would you gain on the cost side?
Oh, darn, I was middle of the tweet.
Yeah, how much would you gain on the cost side? I don't know enough about it, because Medicare has got some pretty good deals with these hospitals.
They do, but they definitely set the floor for treatment, and so the pricing of treatment is never going to go lower than Medicare for any other service, for any other insurance provider, for anybody.
So you're saying that
because that's always the problem with negotiated prices like that, is it sets the floor.
But how much?
And so there is, there is no opportunity for any market force to drive it lower, even 10 years later, when that's still the floor and the price might actually have come down.
Okay, now you believe the 10 years part, you put a big monkey wrench in. But I guess my question is, right now today, how much cheaper is the Medicare price than the chief and Kevin walk in without insurance chump price?
Well, that's a Carl question. Carl just put out a revision to his just this morning I saw it, a revision to his health care plan. So that might be something we'd want to tweet out to the listeners.
Yeah, and we also probably got to get him back on. But yeah, that's because there's all these prices flying around. The thing that's, I have no idea on this one, Kevin, but I'll take your opinion. Maybe is certainly better than mine, and I don't know that mine is any good. So I don't know what that leads you into. But in some of these industries, and I'm gonna include mine, and not on the money management side or the brokerage side. I mean, we can still get clients and do business, and we're competitive enough on that end. In fact, we're very competitive, and by the way, we do a pretty darn good job. In terms of the execution, the market maker side of it, or now you're talking about the insurance side of the healthcare industry, or the amount of hospitals left in Chicago, hospital groups, and the fact that they're actually shutting down hospitals, which is sort of bizarre, and not even using them as immediate care facilities, they're just tearing them down.
Well, I was going to ask, is that because urgent care facilities have popped up?
But these hospitals are kind of the size, Kevin, where you almost could say that the buildings have a lot of stuff in there already. You could almost turn them into one. Anyway, my point is, and this is what I don't know. Now, when you threw me for a loop by putting the 10-year part in there, because if you're an economist and you have if you're what do you call it, you're an endowed professor, time's different for you because you're getting a paycheck when other people may not be. Have we reached the point where we're never coming back? Like nobody's going to be smart enough to turn the execution business and securities back into being competitive. Nobody's going to turn Chicago at any length of time away from the four or five hospitals that control the place. Nobody's going to cause 100 more insurance companies to come to fruition.
At best, you have to turn the aircraft carrier around, which takes a long time.
Yeah, I'm not going to say in 30 years nobody can do it, but it sure looks like in 2 years nobody can do it.
Correct.
And you just wonder how much.
And in fact, it would. In fact, doing what you need to do, and I have my version of it. Carl has his. you need to do would need to happen with a phased plan, so that you didn't just completely shock the system and put, you know, knock everything on its ear. You know, you'd probably have to put everything on a glide path.
Well, you know what I think it almost would need, given the fact that your banks have become the capital, being able to get capital is all part of the, you know, if you, I don't know how it is in your area. It's, you know, Kevin, I think that's most of the discussions that you and I have that we disagree on are sort of the difference in how our areas behave in this regard. I mean, in our area here, our area of Chicago, where you grew up, by the way, even the simple stuff that I see is enough to piss me off. And Audrey can certainly comment to this, that if you and I have enough cash to buy four or five houses, remodel them, and maybe even rent them, or apartment buildings or whatever and rent them, when we run out of cash and we have the, but we have, you know, $2 million worth of crap, basically. We walk into a bank and say we'd like to borrow money for the next one. It's, you know, Chief and Kevin Inc. And by the way, here's our assets, here's our liabilities, we're making money. The chances of us getting a loan, a business loan that we don't have to personally guarantee and make and let them know what kind of cars we have and everything else is virtually zero, Kevin. Yet if we reach the next level to either where, and I'm going to say this shamefacedly, if we're either a big minority person who's somehow getting involved in this, a big, you know, could be ladies, could be whatever, if we're not one of those people that somehow has a, we're not getting that loan. Yet if we get to the point where we may have, you know, 100 of them and we know the mayor, all of a sudden we can get all, it's almost like it's a massive conspiracy against anybody sort of moving up in these areas, and then the banks are sort of in at it. So I'm almost wondering if we're going to do the care facilities that you're talking about. And by the way, I think that's a brilliant idea, and they are popping up, and you do see people do that. I'm not so sure that we almost don't need, from the federal level on down, we almost need a very enhanced small business loan facility, because the banks aren't doing it, and I think they're almost in collusion with the big companies to not do it.
Are the banks doing SBA guarantee loans?
You know what, Kevin? I think they do.
I don't know the answer to that.
The answer is, I think the answer is yes. I don't know of anybody who's ever gotten one. And I think it's become so difficult. Our buddy Greg knows a lot about that. Should have him on. I think it's become so hard to do that I don't know that your basic plumber place that has five vans and business is good and wants to borrow $100,000 for the sixth, I don't know that that's an alternative. I mean, a legitimate alternative. I'm not saying it isn't. If somebody knows better, please tweet in or call in. I don't know. That's a question, by the way, it's a really good question, and I just don't know the answer. I mean, I don't see enough of it. It reminds me of all the laws that were allegedly passed by the Obama administration to help mortgage people. I don't know of anybody who ever got any help, do you? But it isn't to say nobody.
Not personally, but I know there are quite a few people who did.
Okay, I mean, I'll take that for its word, but I know a lot of people. And Audrey knows a lot of people, too, in the Orland area, being in real estate and so forth. And I'm saying, out of, you know, 200 people I know that either lost their house or had a real problem with it, you know, I don't know of anybody who ever got a check for their mortgage insurance either. Do you?
Nope.
And yet everybody pays it.
I haven't had that conversation with anybody.
No, I haven't done it. But wouldn't you think?
I'm not a good source. But Audrey would be a good source.
But you are.
If only she were around today.
Yeah, if only she were around today. Well, she's learning. So she's in school. So the... No, but I mean, you wonder how these programs, do they get to anybody in any sense of the way? Now, I think what needs to have happen is for Kevin's idea that you're going to have these care facilities that are take care of some of the stuff that you actually could pay cash, those kinds of things. I honestly believe that for you and I to do that, I don't think we're walking into Citibank and getting that loan. I think we're going to need somebody to help us. And the only people that can help us is the government. I mean, they almost need, I guess what I'm saying, Kevin, they wrecked it. They better be part of fixing it.
Well, or learn how to get out of the way of the people who want to fix it.
Well, yeah. Well, but I think at this point, I don't think these banks, I don't see how five doctors get the loan for $5 million for a building, to put, which is what it's going to take, right, to buy the property, build one of these places. You got to have some testing equipment in there. Not you know, not high-end stuff, but you got to have some stuff. You got to have a parking lot. You got to have a sterile facility. I mean, that stuff's not cheap. I don't think. I mean, I wouldn't know how to
speculate. Well, that's true, but the direct primary care types of physicians that do it on a subscription basis, they have a predictable cash flow. And they don't have to manage the cash flow as dictated by the government's slow pay system. So that helps them too. You know, how long does it take to get paid by the state of Illinois if you have a you know, if there's a claim there?
I don't think, Kevin, that people, I'm going to say this, and where's Lou when I need him? I'm going to try not to be sexist, but the fact is, most families.
But you're going to. So go ahead.
Well, no, it's. Maybe I'm showing my age, okay? If you, traditionally, in the families that you and I knew, a lot of times both people worked and those kinds of things. But generally, the guy was the leader. Not always. I mean, surely lately, a lot of times the lady's a doctor, she's this and that, she's bringing more money than the guy. But traditionally, who's ever leading the pack, it's always been a problem sometimes, Kevin, when you're entrepreneurs. I know that one of my best buddies who's an attorney, he will go nameless, not Greg, not Lou, and not Brendan.
Well, we're out of friends, I think, Tom.
It could be. But he did a lot of stuff for people back in the RICO era. And let's say that he was not getting paid because in those days the original iteration of the rule was you couldn't even pay your attorney. To say Kevin had put a strain on his marriage is a serious understatement. When he had three girls in school and that kind of thing. You know, and I have a feeling that even though most people think, what's the big deal, that this is an issue between people like me necessarily, and you've done this, and it's not a big difference, but people who have always just... I'll use the term, and don't take this as an insult at all, because I've done this too. Just had a quote, a job. Now, granted, you can get fired, and there's all kinds of bad things going on with that, to where you get your 1099, and you're not 1099, you get your W-2. A lot of things don't really bother your relationships with other people, okay? But if you're an entrepreneur, the day you're the plumber, and you make money, and you're bringing home the bacon, and you're doing whatever, now, which isn't to say the lady couldn't own a public company, she can. You walk home, and all of a sudden you finally got the house, you got the kids in school, maybe even got a little bit of a nest egg, and you drop this bomb on your wife that says, by the way, we have to personally guarantee all this stuff now, even though we've had a corporation, we've made money for years, now no bank will give us a loan without some Fed bleep telling him he needs a personal guarantee, and they're blaming it on the Feds. She's got a real problem with that. Or, if she runs a plumbing company, I got a real problem with that. What do you mean I got to sign? What's the whole purpose of a corporation? You know, that type of thing. And we all know that if it was fraud, you could break the corporate thing, but there's no way on earth that if you're, you know, that Walsh Construction, that whatever the first name of Walsh is at his level, he's not signing that thing. They're making it very, very difficult for people to sign. In our industry, I mean, if I were to get an arbitration, it doesn't matter if PTI has a C corp, is an S corp, is a limited liability corp. FINRA has decided I'm not protected by any of that crap, Kevin. And yet
you're personally liable.
You're personally liable. Now if somebody arbitrates against Schwab, I don't think Charles is personally liable. At what level do all these rules change? I don't think our people have any idea, especially the AOCs of the world and the Bernie Sanders of the world. The other people know on the right because they love it, because they're big. They don't want you coming up after them. The Democrats haven't figured it out yet. They don't realize how difficult it is for somebody really to work their way up to stuff. Your wife, girlfriend, whoever your significant other is, does not want to sign that piece of paper for your plumbing loan, Kevin. I got news for you. And nor should she have to. If you have a corporation going along, the banks, that's risk banks take. And if you've been paying them every month for 4 years, 50 years, you should be able to get that loan. I'm just saying. You know, and you know what? There's all this stuff needs to be fixed. And the fixes are not, just give more to the rich people like Trump, or take it away from the rich people and give it to other people, whatever to God knows what they're going to do with it. On the one side, there needs to be another decision in here somewhere. I'm just saying.
The fixes are usually to simplify.
SP Futures down 4. We'll talk about this when we get back.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com, that's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-401. 8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tim Howell. Mr. Audrey Jansen on the board learning from Mr. Matt Weber. He's here as well. SP Futures down 525 now. NASDAQ Futures down 1450, so leaking a little bit. I was just looking up during the break, the Morgan Stanley Nifty 50 of 1972. Talk about historical. We'll talk a little about stocks when we get back here. Well, we get back done with this. Over in Europe, we've got the the DAX down 29.3%. It's been eerily quiet the last few days, up and down a little bit. FTSE up 22.3%, CAC around down 8, call that one pretty flat. We're in Asia, we've got DK down 129, it's 0.6%. Shanghai, however, these guys are continuing to go up on some combination of more and more stimulus being added to the economy, meaning money pouring into the system, up 1.5%. Hang Seng, not following them that much though, only up 76.2%. We've got oil down 44 cents. They're still over $56 a barrel. So 56.12, Brent down 11. So that spread has actually popped back out to $9 and almost 65 cents. The 60-some cent move in that spread one day. It was $9 yesterday. Natural gas, 288. RBOB, 177 now. Ouch, on the Suburban filling it up. Gold, we're up 280, bouncing there a little bit, 1287. We are under 1300. That's not good. Silver up 1 cent. Well, I guess it's good if you're short gold. It's not good if you're long it. I'd like to see that thing pop back up, but we will see. Whatever doing traffic, weather, sports, it's time for traffic, weather, sports.
Well, good morning. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful day in Chicago. Currently a little nippy out there at 11 degrees, but we're looking forward to a high of 31 today with a partly cloudy sky with a little more of the sunshine coming in. As far as traffic goes, it looks like it's still a pretty decent day to come into Chicago. Got a little congestion coming in on the Kennedy on the inbound side. Same thing with the Eisenhower heading in. And Stevenson looks pretty clear, a little bunch up around the Midway Airport area. And coming in so far on 94, things look good. So it should be a pretty good commute. Nobody seemed to run into each other yet. And sports yesterday, the Sox out there playing were unfortunately lost to Indiana 0-11. And Angels beat the Cubs out in Arizona from 9-2. Pacers beat the Bulls, unfortunately, 105-96. Not a good thing. Back to you.
You sound a lot like the lady who's a real estate expert.
Oh. Many hats I wear, many hats.
Oh, God, oh, God. Hey, so here I am. This is before your time, Kevin. Two things happened yesterday. I have several new clients that have very key positions, and I'm going to say concentrate.
For you to cite something that you know that's before my time, you know how small that window is?
It's not really before your time. It's right about when I met you.
Okay.
And you weren't a squalling baby, what I bet you. You were fully grown, as they used to say. Anywho.
Yeah. Hey, before we get away from that, I do want to mention one thing, though. When I teach public speaking, one of the things that I always put in there is that if you find yourself saying, this might not be politically correct, or I don't want to sound sexist, but
it probably is.
That's when you stop.
Yes. I'm just saying.
Just saying.
Well, what I'm saying in the traditional family,
I know what you were saying, Tom. I'm just giving you a hard time.
Well, I mean, we're asking him.
There's some phrases though that have to set off alarm bells in your head and say maybe I need to redirect where I'm going here.
Well, yeah, but the thing of it is this is not my intention. And again, one thing I've learned when I'm doing the show, Kevin, is it's not what you say; it's what people hear. I mean, and that part is scary, to be honest with you. What I'm saying is, the way we're going here now, the other person, I'll say, in the marriage, if the guy's a plumber or the lady has a beauty shop or whatever, I'm not trying to be sexist in the roles, the lady could be the plumber these days, to ask the other person to be a guarantor on something that is a business that A, is a corporation, and B, is the other person's deal is an incredible reach that's happened in the last 10 years. And I think people are blind to it, Kevin, to what this is doing to... I'm saying that it's not a tough conversation because you're
well,
right.
And as you have noted many times, all we've done is forced financing outside of the banking system.
Right.
And, you know, you can debate whether that's healthy or not. I suppose there are probably some people that, you know, there probably are some people who can defend it or might make a case from, you know, freer markets or something like that. And let's not open that can of worms right now, but the point is that's what's happened. If you want a traditional loan, sign away your life. Cool. And your spouse's life too.
So what somebody has really said somewhere along the way, this is the progression of this, Kevin. This is what really beats the bleep out of me. The progression of this really says is that for somebody under a certain huge level, there is no such thing as a corporate veil as a limited liability corp or anything, is what it really says. Now, is somebody doing that on purpose, or is it a bunch of stupid bureaucrats got there by accident? Or is there a man behind the curtain? This has kind of been my theme for the last.
Tough call.
Did somebody up in Washington somewhere? I don't even know which side of the aisle would want to start this. Say, you know what? We don't want these people being able to duck behind a corporate veil that own like a little plumbing company. We only want, you know, the biggest plumbing company in town to be able to do that. We don't want five. But I know in our industry, the people that come to do the audits, they just as soon have half the people gone. Just like the people who do the bank audits. I mean, Powell can sit there with that cheesy grin and tell some poor senator or representative that actually may be trying to do his job that he doesn't, that bank mergers are abhorrent to him, but the fact is they approve every one. So do you look at what the guy tells you or the facts? You know, I mean, do the bank examiners really want one less bank? Maybe they do. Maybe it's another day vacation for them. I don't know. But somewhere along the line, this cannot be happening by accident. It's either happening by ignorance, by plan, by something, and I honestly don't know the answer to it, Kevin, and I wish somebody would tell me. I mean, you're making
the statistical case for randomness. You can tell I'm teaching stats this semester.
Yeah, I'd have to come and I should come on and roust up one of your classes one of these days. Anyway.
You should definitely show up. I'll make you talk, though.
Okay, well, that's all right. That's all right. I mean, I'm good at that. Anyway,
you need to come over for management class. My management classes are fun.
Oh, well, you know, here's what I'm going to run at you. In the last few months, I mean, I've gotten a lot more clients. Okay, which is great. I mean, all of a sudden, everybody wants to predict to the next program, and I can see why. And by the way, I thought we haven't done it for a long time, Kevin, because the interest rate's going down, the put prices went up, and the call prices went down. But I often wondered that even though it didn't look like I could make, you know, silk purse from a Sol Zeron, when the calls were that cheap and actually maybe try and pay for the insurance over time, the put insurance, I've been doing it now for a lot of people for like 6 weeks. We just all of a sudden we got this huge clamor to do it, and I said okay, and I put all kinds of money to work in the last 8 weeks. By being able to use these weeklies rather than monthly, I think I can totally overcompensate for the fact that the puts are still high and the calls still a little cheaper. I mean, so far I've done it. I mean, it's a way too small of a sample to have any kind of a track record, but so I'm still using my track record from 10 years ago. I'm just saying, look, this is the program, this is what we did for a decade, and then we stopped doing it because it didn't look like we could continue to given the market conditions, and now we started over. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. We just stopped because I didn't think I could perform. And now all of a sudden, I think with these weeklies, I think I can perform better than I ever did. And all of a sudden, people are like, hey, I want in. But by and large, a lot of the people that have come in, a lot, I mean several, have this huge core position in Apple. And you can't, I'm not saying.
That would be an Apple core then?
Oh, yeah. I mean, can he, remember the Honeymooners? Can it core a Apple?
It can core a Apple.
But I mean, And the interesting part about this is yesterday, GE got hammered once again as they're going to not make cash flow in 2019. And I caution people that any one of these generational stocks, there's not very many of them left. I mean, there's all kinds of people, especially in the Chicago area, that had. I mean, I don't think any area in the country, Kevin, took a bigger hit up to behind than the Chicago area on these generational stocks. Sears, General Motors, United Airlines. How many people in Chicago had United Airlines stock, for God's sake?
That's no, all the employees.
Yeah, all the employees. Kmart, Chicago Tribune. We're talking about various, but Sears is a huge one. Everybody had AT&T stock because 30-some thousand people worked for Western Electric, right? It was owned by...
Mm-hmm.
But these, you just have to be careful that 5-6 years ago, you couldn't talk people out of GE, Kevin. It was a lifetime holding. I got to believe it was the most widely held stock after Lucent, and I'm not positive on that, so don't take that one to the bank. But Lucent essentially went out of business at, what, $2? It bought by some outfit in Europe. Lucent was Western Electric, right? And then became Ameritech, and there was Lucent.
Yeah, I remember. I think it was Ameritech before it was Lucent, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And but I'm saying these companies, they tend to go down a rat hole. Now, there's a list, and here's one that the most famous thing for people that are old in the market was the Morgan Stanley Nifty 50 of 1972. And these stocks were described as one-decision stocks. What does that mean, Kevin?
One-decision stocks, that must mean you just buy.
You just bought them. They were going to carry you through your generation, your lifetime. And a lot of them are still here, okay? But a lot of them aren't.
Because there's more question. I mean, you know, at the time they were probably the discipline, and I'm just speculating on this, so you can correct me if I'm wrong. But the discipline was evaluating balance sheets and income statements and saying, you know, what does it look like? But ultimately, we got into a world of innovation, and what killed all of those companies was their failure to be innovative.
Well, a lot of them are taking over. So
that's a cultural thing. That's a soft thing. How will you evaluate that as an analyst?
Well, exactly my point. And I don't really know. I remember some of these got taken over, so I guess, the ones that were taken over, you might still be doing fine where you are, but because with the company was taken over. But these were designed for stocks that people have, people with a $100,000 portfolio had, 1,000 shares in one of these stocks. And here's the ones that are dead. Well, Xerox is still here, but I wouldn't exactly say it was the best buy. Because we had one of the worst bear markets ever, 1973-74, after the Watergate. So for those that say, don't worry about it if Trump's actually guilty of something and gets thrown out, and I honestly believe, I hope that doesn't happen, and I honestly believe it won't, Kevin.
By the way, let's come back to that after we finish this point.
But, I mean, we're talking about... Joseph Schlitz Brewing Company, ding, ding, ding.
Mm-hmm.
Sears Roebuck, Simplicity Pattern, SS Kresge, which became Kmart, correct?
Yep.
Squibb, we got bought from somebody, so you're probably okay in Squibb. Texas Instruments, you're probably okay. Upjohn got bought by somebody. Disney, I mean, you're fine. Xerox, not so hot, right? Shearing Plow, I'm going to say everybody got bought by somebody, I'm going to say it's probably okay.
Yeah, because Xerox was totally invested in copiers, and we don't need copiers as much anymore.
Right. Polaroid, not so hot.
And, copiers and printers, well, we've kind of gotten away from those things.
MGIC
Polaroid,
investment?
Yeah, did Polaroid fail to go digital? So, if you take Sears as an example, how many people do you suppose were out there 20 years ago, or let me see, when was it? Yeah, it was probably about 20 years ago that they discontinued the catalog operation. How many people do you suppose were out there saying, bad decision, Sears, this internet I think is going to be big, and you have the infrastructure for it, don't give it away.
Well, they realized their mistake, was it 1 or 2 years later, they went up and bought Land's End, but that wasn't the same thing. It was just closed. It wasn't everything you could get at the farm,
right,
everything you could get at the barn.
You know, with the catalog business, I mean, isn't that essentially what Amazon is?
Well, yeah,
big catalog business.
Well, Amazon is modern day combination of Sears and Wachowskis.
Yeah. So forgetting what you hate about everything else about them, and just looking at it from that standpoint, they were there. It came along right time. eBay kind of blazed the trail for them. They just you know, went with the same model, but you know, but did it better. Took over their launch, but Sears had everything they needed to be able to pull that off, and they gave it away. You know, only a few years before it would have mattered to them, before it would have been a big advantage to them.
I'm reading off a couple more.
I don't know if anybody was that visionary that, you know, at the time, that was just looking at it and going, "Oh, bad decision."
Well, I mean, it got to the point where there were some. They did it for a totally different reason, Kevin. Is that they ended up, obviously, in the beginning, it was people could not get to the Sears stores in Chicago if you lived in Wyoming, for God's sake.
Right, they had it for a different reason. Yeah. Yes.
So then their point was, we managed to get the stores just about everywhere. To where the stores, there people are coming in and buying, but you know, as to what what level the and you know, only they know this, Kevin. You know, did the Sears Tack catalog, where you know you got all your horse stuff, had that those sales dropped to such to where every town had their own, you know, farmer supply stuff, the farm and fleet, whatever. Had it dropped to such a point where they don't need it anymore? I mean, only they know that. You know, I mean, maybe it did. I know when we bought a 16-foot runaround Chris-Craft. Boy, I wish I still had it. They'd be worth a fortune. When we were 16, because I just got my driver's license, and I discovered there was a Sears boating magazine. You could buy the lines, you could buy the bumpers for, you know, at least a third of the cost of what you'd get from any kind of boating joint. Would totally rip you off. I mean, they had a catalog for everything. And, you know, and maybe it got to the point where there were so many boating supply places that people forgot Sears even existed and they didn't do any business. I mean, I'm not saying they were total morons for closing up. Maybe there just wasn't any business.
No, they just didn't envision something that happened. And if they had, you know, thought about it a different way, or if they had seen this coming, and I don't know if it's even reasonable to expect that anybody saw this coming. I don't remember a lot of people saying, "Well, we're on the verge of, of making it so that anybody can shop anywhere, anytime." I don't know that there was anybody else out there saying the same thing.
But I never saw a commercial either, or anywhere, print or any place, said, "Hey, by the way, you own a boat, you own whatever, you own a barn, you own a farm. Why don't you go through the stuff in the catalog is a lot cheaper than you're getting anywhere else." I mean, they never pushed it at all.
They needed it to be in the fishing magazines and all those kinds of things.
Anyway, so Louisiana Land and Exploration.
Say that again?
Louisiana Land and Exploration.
Lubra, what about it?
Another one of the Nifty 50. ITT.
You're back to the list.
Yeah,
okay.
ITT, yep. They're out of business. Emory Air Freight.
I remember Emory Air Freight, sure.
Cheeseboro Ponds.
Interesting. Never heard of them.
Burroughs Corp.
I remember Burroughs. It's Unisys now, and I think they're still around. But,
is this Magic Investment?
For a while, they were making substantial inroads
in
technology. They had some really good mainframe technology. The only problem with that is nobody uses mainframes anymore.
Is Magic Investments got to be the people that sell insurance and mortgage insurance are out of business. We're not out of business, but they're a shadow of the former self. Anyway, my point is, anybody who has, even if it's Apple, the mighty Apple, you might be one for 50 years from now, is still there, rocking and rolling. The chances aren't that high, Kevin.
I don't have confidence in Apple without Jobs.
Really?
You know, I
Steve Jobs.
Just like the first time he left, they lost their edge. They lost what made Apple what they were. And they had to beg him to come back, and he did, and reinvigorated the company. But I don't know that Tim Cook's capable of doing that.
I'm not so sure either. I have one question for you regarding Amazon, and it seems to me that this is the bane of all retailers. I mean, because retailers have been around since whatever, and everybody thinks that Amazon is. How can things always be different this time because of technology? I think one of the biggest mistakes younger people make today, is that somehow technology trumps, like, principle and numbers. And I don't know that it does. It may put it off for a while. But this thing with Amazon, the latest thing with Amazon I've heard, these guys, Kevin, when they when you go there and you buy something and it's shipped from a place in North Dakota, and you still to this day don't have to pay taxes on that, or at least don't get collected, you're supposed to pay. I'm going to say that Amazon's, they don't, what they charge for that, I don't know, but their margin has to be pushing 95%. It's got to be. I mean,
I'd have to put a pencil to paper of that, because I think it's real easy to look at that as a gross margin, you know, a kill. But it might not be. I can't just blanket agree with that unless I actually.
Well, I mean, probably every one of the deals at every one of these places might be a little different. But my point is that it's strictly an electronic transaction. They never touch it. Comes from a third party. It's like a fender coming from Wachowski's, right? I mean, it's coming from Joe's Fenders in Utah for your Jeep, and I'm talking about the marginal cost, not the total part, because putting the whole thing together in a catalog out there is a big deal. In this case, putting the Amazon system together is a seriously big deal. But once it's together, the marginal cost is like a movie popcorn, right? Once you own the popcorn machine.
Yeah, it's the marginal cost of putting on the next seller, of selling the next item, et cetera. Yes, I agree with you.
So now, why do they want, and then if you're an investor in there, I'm not saying you should sell, buy, or whatever, if you're an investor in there, why wouldn't it bother you that they're looking to do regular grocery stores where the margin, in the best stores, the margin is 1%?
I want to know why they're doing regular grocery stores, and I suspect that the answer is that that they're saying the marginal cost of doing them is relatively low because they're going to have distribution centers nearby anyway. So they're going to leverage the delivery side of their business by having some brick and mortar.
And, that makes sense.
You know, again, that may be wise, or it may not be. I don't know, but that's probably what they're thinking is, hey, I already have the infrastructure in place to supply these, so the cost of adding, of, you know, where anybody else who would be in the grocery business is going to have to pay a lot of money to put that warehousing infrastructure into place, and they don't have to because they already have it.
But, I mean, it's the same as Apple, who manages to maintain, what, a 60% margin on these iPhones? Or Apple phones, or whatever, and yet they want to be in the automobile business, right? The automobile business is
Let me shift gears real quickly here, if you don't mind. There's just something I wanted to get in there, and we can talk more about it Friday. I don't remember if Lou said it or if Lou just retweeted it, but it's so true. He said, you know, all the Democrats have to do to win in 2020 is not be crazy.
But they can't do that. They can't do that.
I don't think they can do it.
I don't think they can do it.
This Schiff investigation, and even David Axelrod, but he's actually, you know, I think David Axelrod is a political commentator. He is one of the few who can come out of the political world where he is totally advocating for one thing and has managed to reposition himself as someone who can look at things analytically. He still has, obviously, his beliefs, but he will look at things objectively and tell you what he thinks rather than spout the party line. So in that regard, I've grown to like David Axelrod as a commentator. But, you know, he even thinks this is nuts. The Schiff investigation that he has opened now, you know, he said, well, you know, they don't have the collusion stuff, so they're just sending subpoenas to everybody associated with Trump. Now, you may think that some of the investigations that the Republicans conducted were nonsense. Hillary Clinton's emails and how much they looked into that, or Benghazi or anything. But at least they went in there with a specific charge. You know, something, they were looking into something very specific and saying, we think you did something wrong here and we're going to investigate. This Schiff investigation is just, give us all the stuff and we'll see if we can find anything.
I can't tell you.
This is, and what Axelrod's statement about it was, this is just a fishing expedition and it's playing totally into Trump's hands because he's been claiming that all along.
Well, we'll talk about it more Friday, because I'll tell you what, to me this is an awful lot of revenge, which you'd sort of expect, but I think it's way too much. I mean, let Mueller's thing come out, let it land, and see what it says, for God's sake.
Yeah, but, you know, otherwise, yes, to just say, if we're going to have Congress just say, I'm going to look into whoever I please, you know, in this case, it's the president, but is this really where we want to be, where we just say, don't like you, so therefore, I am going to just turn your life upside down looking for something. They may find something. I've never approved of Trump's business practices. So, they may find something, but, man,
is this
the way we want to do this?
You're playing right into the other side. It's ignorant. It's politically very ignorant, I think. SP Futures down. But we got to talk a little bit of basketball on Friday, too.
I think it's about tournament time.
Yeah, it's about tournament time. Or at least it's going to be Big Ten or all these other guys tournament time. Letting all these teams...
everybody else's. You know it.
Matty Weber says that none of the smaller conferences have anybody... Only the winners are going to go this year. There's no standout team, which is interesting. We'll talk about that on Friday.
Okay.
SP Futures down 6. NASDAQ Futures down 16.50. Leaking a little bit. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's JOHN@PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Al. This is Audrey Jansen on the board, learning the craft with Mr. Matt Weber, the best at teaching. So it won't take her long. She'll be pretty good, pretty darn quick, I think. Hey, Mr. Matt Weber, I'm looking here at Canada Goose. That was about a 950, the thing the lady was wearing this morning. Just saying. SP Futures down 6.25. NASDAQ Futures down 17.25. Are you with us, Russell?
You realize Matt can't talk.
I'm here. You said Mr. Matt Weber.
Well, you're Mr. Russell Rhodes.
I am. You said, hey, Mr. Matt Weber.
Well, I can't tell.
Like, Matt's not here.
I can't see who. Matt,
we've upgraded to Audrey.
Well, we've done something, yes. I can't tell which one's hearing, but Matt and I had an adventure in the Dunkin' Donuts this morning.
Oh, you and Matt had an adventure in the Dunkin' Donuts? Well, what happened?
We walk in, and there's this attractive young lady wearing one of the Canada Goose $1,200 jackets.
Uh-huh.
So I said to May, there's your chance. She's the same size as Jill. I won't tell. Grab it and run. And it'd be a nice gift type of thing.
Uh-huh.
Of course, he would never do that. And the lady...
No.
The lady buys a gift card for $25, which, of course, we're snarling because we had to wait a minute for her to do that, or 2 minutes. And, of course, the girl behind the register had no idea how somebody's going to do that. So it became a little bit more of a scene than you thought. Lady turned around and handed a cup of coffee and the gift card to the homeless guy.
See, don't you feel bad? You were mean.
I was not mean. I was just thinking of Maddie bopping her and grabbing it, you know, and running out, giving it to. Because we've had several incidents here in Chicago of people jumping out of Mercedes and grabbing those things.
I know that's 10 years ago, people would jump out of Mercedes and take your smartphone away from you.
Yes.
Now, while you're walking down the street texting. I actually witnessed one of those probably about 15 years ago. But actually witnessed one of those on Dearborn, up when you get close to Latin School in the park and everything. That was a common problem in my neighborhood for a while. But now it's the nice coast.
It's still an issue.
About it, you know, it would be okay if, you know, it's 0 degrees and they grab your coat and they give you a cheaper one so you don't freeze to death.
Yeah, but that's not what they're doing.
They're not even considerate.
No, I hate it when these guys aren't even considerate. It's lousy.
I was robbed once on the Red Line by the most considerate criminal ever. I had my wallet in my jacket pocket and, big crowd and I'm minding my own business and... We stop somewhere, the door's open, the door's shut, something comes flying in. It was my wallet without the cash.
Really?
They grabbed my wallet, they'd taken the cash out of it, and then they threw my wallet back in so I didn't have to replace all the other stuff. Wasn't that nice?
Yeah. I had a guy, when I lived at 70 West Huron, this is years ago, it's early in the morning, so I'm going up the steps to the Chicago stop, and all of a sudden I feel this guy's hand in my back pocket. There's only two of us on the steps. I turn around, and here's this guy. He's about half my size. And I go, you don't really want to do this, do you? He's like, man, I wasn't doing nothing. I said, your hand was in my pocket looking for my wallet. How about if I just wing you on these L-tracks right now? And I go, why would you try and do that on an empty platform just before cameras to a guy twice your size? I mean, how desperate do you have to
hungry.
Be? Well, he was something. It was
he needed to feed his baby.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway, so what's going on in New York other than you being like the big shot? Are you running for office or what? What are you doing out there?
I am not. I'm not running for office because if you reached out, you don't even have to reach out to 80 of the people that I've worked with. Reach out to 6, and you'll find enough dirt to disqualify me in a heartbeat.
Wait a minute, you can't.
I've already held. I've been on for 4 minutes, and I've held myself back from saying 3 very inappropriate things.
No, see, you have to. You're not listening to the show. You're not listening to the show enough. That's your whole problem. Because clearly, you're mentally off. Because all you have to do is jump from where schmucks like me and Kevin and Lou and people are, our level of the world, to where if you do something bad, like people remember and don't like you for it, you need to vault over the line that puts you in the the politician Trump end of the world where no matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter what lies you may make, it's okay because you always lie.
It's expected.
Yeah, it's expected.
That's what he does.
You know, it could be.
You watch Family Guy, right?
It's a bit, no, but it's if you. There's got to be a thing where if you cheat on your wife once, you're a cheater.
Well, that's exactly where I was going.
Yeah.
There's a Family Guy episode where Quagmire hits on Meg when she turns 18, and she looks at Peter Griffin and says, "Peter, this is what I do." It's the same thing.
Yeah. And if you started,
and you know, the one thing that I don't like, and you know, Trump's more my guy than Hillary would have been my girl.
Oh God, I agree with that. Yeah,
yeah. But the one thing that I absolutely hate is if somebody tries to defend Trump and they automatically say, "Well, what about the Clinton Foundation?" You know, focus on the person we're talking about. Don't suddenly flip it around You know, I see a lot of the flipping it around right now, and I'm not going to do that.
What about Al Capone?
You know,
what about Al Capone? He's dead. You know, right?
What?
What about Al Capone? What about Al Capone? He's dead. You know,
Al Capone was a bad guy, but did you know that he started a band at Alcatraz and entertained on Sunday night?
Well, you got to do something.
He learned how to play the banjo in his later years. Musicians can't be bad guys.
What do you tell your creatures in class, your students?
They're on spring break right now.
So you got to be happy.
Yeah, that's actually why I'm in New York.
I think Kevin's guys are on next week, and he's ready for it. Eric's guys are this week. We have all kinds of professors. I think Hal's guys are this week too. How many shows have four professors on it?
I don't know. Probably. You know what? There are a couple of podcasts that I listen to that are all academic. But
they can't let just you guys talk. There's got to be somebody else.
Uh-huh.
There's got to be somebody else reeling you in. You would think.
Yeah.
All right. So what do you make of the new monetary theory that we were talking about this week? What do you make the idea that just because something is technological, that all of a sudden all principles go away? That this. The Bernie Sanders, you just create money and spend it, and it's just growth. I was reading that the other day on the show, and it's pretty scary. Why?
Yeah, you just have to print more money.
Or you can just, if
you want to do something really big, the Fed can just loan the money to do the something big, and you know, not necessarily worry about getting paid back. It'll be fine.
Why do you think all of a sudden people are actually saying that when there's examples all over the place?
Because of what happened 10 years ago.
Do they honestly think that we're fine?
I actually do. I think they think we're fine. I don't think a lot of people. I mean, I'll repeat something I've said multiple times to you where. You and I are a lot closer to it. This is our job. We pay attention to this day to day. A lot of people only see that, and I think this includes a lot of the politicians. That they just see that things are going particularly well. If things aren't going particularly well, the government can fix it for us. So you know, let's try a few more things.
I'm going to say that out of all the guests. That I've had some pretty darn good ones, and have you're not a guest, you're a contributor. So I've had a lot of good ones of those too. The guy who might have been had the most interesting line is the dude Kathy got from I can't remember. Many might know if he was Oxford or Cambridge. The Professor Goodhart, that if you whenever any economic either print not a principle, but any kind of study or any kind of statistics. Become a target. They cease to value any kind of value as a statistic, because people just mess with them. And
And
you wonder if we're doing the same. I mean, if we're doing the same thing on just about everything. I mean, we talk about this unemployment rate. The first thing I learned at Notre Dame, sophomore year, because we took the same thing freshman year. My first economics class was that the dumbest, stupidest, most useless statistic is the unemployment rate. And here it is, pushing 50 years later. It's still the dumbest.
It's one of the three big ones.
Yeah, it's all we talk
when
about.
When you see the economic stuff rated, there's three things that they give A's to, and it's the employment situation, GDP, and whatever the Fed's saying.
And now all of a sudden it was a dumb number, and then all of a sudden in Milton Friedman's time, all you watched was the money supply, and now we don't care about that
I don't even think they give it to us in the way they used to.
Yeah, they do. Go to the HC every week.
Well, didn't they used to report it a lot more frequently than they do now?
No, it's what comes out weekly. Same thing.
Okay. All
right. Go to the H6 release. Comes out every Thursday, 3:30, whatever the hell it is.
Okay.
Now all of a sudden we don't care about that.
That's because it would scare the bejesus out of you.
Well, but I think there's stuff that you don't even the tricks they pull within the money supply. Even the Fed's Fed funds rate, which has been around forever. I've said this before. The current Fed funds rate means nothing. It's the rate at which the Fed is paying interest rates to big banks. That's not a Fed funds rate.
It's interesting. If you look at money supply on the New York Fed site, and I had looked at this recently, so I pulled it back up, but in the past two decades, developments have broken down the relationship between money supply growth and the performance of the U.S. economy.
I'm going to say...
And this is what I was thinking of. It was in July 2000, they stopped announcing that they had target rate ranges for money supply growth.
Right.
And in 2006, they stopped publishing M3. That's the one I was thinking
Right,
about.
They stopped publishing M3.
Yeah.
But you can still find it, I think.
Oh, yeah. You can dig those things out. But they actually, on the New York Fed's website, they say exactly what you just said. We don't care, in Fed speak, we don't care about money supply anymore.
yet it's still, whenever you see these numbers start to creep up, you see the stock market go up.
Yeah, it's all about liquidity. Where's the money going to go?
And when you start pulling it back, like they did in December, you see the stock market go down.
Stock market's not... That's why whenever they would even mention that they were going to have to ease up on quantitative easing or stop altogether, the stock market would get hit for 3 or 4%, and then they would kind of backtrack on it.
But they go backtrack on it. And because you pump up,
because it was very important. I mean, it's what has resulted in a big move to the upside in the stock market. There's no other way to. I don't think anybody could deny that.
I have a problem putting my thumb on what the premium is. I hope it's 5 or 10% and not like 40.
Yeah.
But how do you
Yeah, I actually got a survey that academics get, and I wanted to ask your opinion on this one. Basically, it was two things. It was what are you using for the risk-free rate right now, and what sort of risk premium would you use for modeling expected returns for the stock market this year? And that second one really. You could just extrapolate the last 10 years and say, okay, this is about what the risk premium should be. But there's so many other factors that get into play there, including what's the Fed going to do as far as QE type of activity, and how do you include a put option that's associated with the Fed making sure that the stock market keeps going up when you're looking at the risk premium.
Well, that's what would you normally say? This used to be easy.
I know it used to be easy. I hate to throw numbers at you like that early in the morning.
The reason why I want to say it is because peculiarly, what the Fed has done is by paying this interest. And first of all, I would say that the Fed funds rate, in my opinion, which is now 2.5, 2.75, because that's what It's but well, what? What is the discount rate? The Fed funds
rate. The target rate right now?
It's 2.5.
Is it 2.25? 2.5?
Something like that. So let's say 2.5. That's the rate now that the Fed is paying banks at night. All right. So if you go into a bank, I'm going to say Lakeside will pay you 1% at this point, or half of 1% or something, and they're like on the leading edge. But you're not getting. Now we have two brokerage relationships here at PTI. I'm going to say at IB you're getting 1%. At RBC, I don't think you're getting anything. If you are, it's, you know, it's bupkis. So the and that used to be 3.5 when we started the business, right? So if you gave me your money to manage. Somebody fell off. If you gave me your money to manage, and I left half of it in cash, at least you're getting 3.5%. So that's what I would consider to be the risk-free rate. And most people could get that rate or pretty darn close to it by going into their bank and plunking it in a savings account or something like that. Now, I'm not exactly up to speed on what savings accounts are, but I'm going to guess at a big bank they might be 1.5 on a CD or something like that. You know, I'll find out for tomorrow. But what we've been doing here at PTI, this is not only educational, but it's a shameless plug. The advantage with the Fed running these rates up is you've got this very flat yield curve.
And we're working on getting Russell back here.
And so the risk-free rate, and again, another shameless plug, for PTI clients that have enough money to do this for, meaning 25, 50, something like that, we've been going to the six-month auctions of the T-bills. We don't want to go out further than that, but we've been getting 2.45, and I'm not sure the exact last number my brother went and got, but Dan, PTI Securities president, goes, and if you want it, Russell, I've been talking about this while we somehow lost you, but the
who knows what happened? I think it's the new girl on the board.
That could be. I think it was Audrey's fault.
I think it was my cell phone. I don't want her to worry about that. But it's 2.25 to 2.5.
Okay, so what I'm saying is, mm-hmm. what we've done here at PTI is, if you had your account here and wanted to stay in cash for 6 months, Dan's going to the auction at the Treasury, and he's actually getting you 2.25. I mean, 2.4, 2.45. So that's mm-hmm. what we're doing for our people. But our clearing firm isn't paying butkus. So when we used to pay 3%. Okay, IB's paying a little more because we have two relationships. But the idea of risk-free should be what you can walk into Lakeside Bank and put in a savings account or a Citigroup. And I'm going to say, what is that, 1.25 maybe?
Yeah.
So the risk-free rate, not only is it not very high, it's not very even.
No. And I don't think it ever fully has been.
Oh, sure it was. Sure it was.
You think so? I mean, I always felt like there were some people that could do a little bit better than others.
Well, but I'm saying in your youth, if you went to the savings and loan and put it in a savings account, you got 3%. Everybody got 3%.
I'm thinking more from a trading account standpoint.
Okay, but that was okay. But I'm saying that when we started, everybody paid the same amount. It was all like 3. Some mm-hmm. firm might have paid 2.9. Somebody 3. It wasn't like somebody paid you 6 and somebody paid you nothing.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that the risk-free rate has traditionally been, back through centuries, has been, what, 2.5%, 2.75%, 3%. And if you went back to the Stone Ages, you lent somebody 100 stones, he brought you back 103 at the end of the year. And it used to
move. Yeah, it's been consistently in that range. They date it back to, you know, biblical times.
Yeah. And so when you looked at interest rates in our day, the interest rate, the nominal rate was the risk-free rate of 3% plus whatever people's anticipation is of inflation. There's a logic to this. If I lend mm-hmm. Russell $1,000, what am I going to want back? I want juice on my dough. He's getting to use it and build something I can't, right? So hopefully he's going to mm-hmm. make something on what he's using it for. And oh, by the way, if at the end of the year the currency drops, the worth is down 10%, I'm going to want 113, right? the 10% drop in the currency plus the three. And nobody, I don't think people know that, what that formula is anymore, Russell. I mean, that you should have both of those things in there. But you should. And but now we have, I actually, the other day I was actually wrote it up for one of the people who was talking to me on tweets and emails, well, emails, not tweets. And I said that the places that we, the massive inflation in my lifetime or in the last 20 years, medical stuff, somehow we don't count that 5%. It's an education of all, at all levels, clearly college, but high school and grammar school, same way. Anything to do with money for you. So if you have a credit card and, or if it's a mortgage that you're late on for a month or something, the fees associated with that are spectacular. They're just made up and thrown at you. If you're late on a credit card for a month, what is it, like $70? There's a fee plus the interest rate plus the raise rate. I mean, your costs of dealing with a bank. I mean, you could have $300,000 in a bank and be late on a 5-hour credit card bill, and it's $50. Even though they're 99.95 to the good on you. Right? I mean, it's spectacular. So if you take those four things, and if you want to put any kind of local taxes and any kind of local fees for parking and whatever else, if you added that, you're going to find your cost of living is dramatically different than the CPI price index. But you're not even on the same planet. To the point where the CPI index, what does Hal Snar call it and Carl Denninger? So I'll get it tomorrow. They have a name for it. It's a government static or something. They're not even indices anymore. They're just useless. I mean, right? They're not. And then the Fed will tell you, my guys at the Fed will tell me the same thing. Hey, you don't go to a Fed meeting, you look at the Bureau of Labor Statistics numbers and you take them. The last thing you do is have a 3-day Fed meeting where all you do is bitch at each other about how lousy the numbers are you're getting from another agency. You just don't do that. And I guess I understand that part, but what if they're just flat out wrong? You can't sit there and believe them either. You know, what happens if somebody drops a thing in front of you, Marilyn Monroe was ugly? Well, okay, I guess you could go with that, but she wasn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Yeah.
So now the Democrats have come with this other situation, and I mentioned to Kevin earlier, I was kind of hoping to talk more about it with you. We've got this trading, this quick twitch trading, high velocity trading that most people don't understand. They assume it's crooked, and to a certain extent it is. And there's good and bad
in that area.
Well, let me say why I think it's crooked. Because we're doing some stuff here at PTI with some people, interesting formula, and if we ever get it together, I'll tell everybody what it is. When you're talking about a penny wide spread ticket, minimum tick is a penny.
Yeah.
Okay, now, to the uninitiated in this world, they might be actually stupid enough to think that everybody can only trade on the pennies. But that's not true. The amount of crap that goes on between those pennies, in terms of the amount of kickbacks and all the other stuff with it, nobody should. The idea that people should be able to allowed to trade between the minimum tick is unconscionable to me. So I don't expect AOC or Bernie Sanders or any of these guys to understand what we understand. But I can see why they look at this and say, wait a minute. There's three or four players here. They seem to make like $1 million a day. They never have a losing day. Nobody can break into the business. Something's wrong here. That observation, to me, is spot on.
Anybody that's not adding to the integrity of the marketplace and is getting paid particularly well really doesn't belong in the marketplace.
Okay, but I'm saying,
and if it's going to make a difference if they're gone, then they don't belong, and I don't think it would make a big difference if they were gone. I don't think it would make a difference for the worse if a lot of them were gone.
Well, why can't we just say everybody, you have to trade on the tick? Why should you never get to sell your stock at a spot because somebody's a thousandth of a cent ahead of you, and you can't drop your price to a thousandth of a cent? That's unconscionable. What manner of moron SEC got themselves talked into that, Russell?
Well, I think the base of that is that you have to understand that volume and liquidity are not the same thing.
Hey, hold that after the break. We have SP Futures down 6. NASDAQ Futures down 14. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks. And how are you?
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. She's Audrey Johnson on the board. I'm ever hovering around her like a mother goose over there, for God's sake. SP Futures down 3.25. Coming back a little bit here. NASDAQ Futures down 650. We were down 7 just a minute ago. Matter of fact, it just jumped up 3 points as we've had the private payrolls up 130,000. That number is very, very difficult to trade that number. Over in Europe, we've got DAX down 40. It's 0.3%. FTSE up 14.2. CAC around down 8. Call that one flat. Over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei down 129.6%. Shanghai up 47, 1.5. You know what? I wonder if they might even close that. It's the same number as yesterday. Hang Seng up 76.2%. We've got oil down 70 cents now. Brent oil down 29. That spread is moved out to being almost $10 now. It's $9.70. Natural gas 2.86. RBOB gas, 1.76, up, let's say 40 cents since Thanksgiving. That's a long way. You notice it when you pull in to get gas. Gold is up, down a whole 310 to 1287, and we've got silver up 3 cents at 1513. What do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
Well, good morning. In Chicago weather, looks like it's going to be another gorgeous day. A little sunshine, relief from all the clouds we've been having. It's 11 degrees right now, so it's a lot colder than it looks if you're still sitting at home. So on your way in, it's going to come up to 31 degrees today and be mostly partly cloudy.
Oh, God.
So you're going to see a little more sun than you've been used to seeing, so that's a good thing. And sports, the Sox lost to Indiana, unfortunately 11 to zip. Cubs lost to the Angels 9-2, and the Bulls and Pacers came out on top 105-96. And we're looking at Chicago traffic. Well, of course, it's always a little more complicated the later on in the day you get. Kennedy inbound, pretty heavy outbound, some slight delays. Eisenhower very heavy coming in. You got traffic on Stevenson, not as bad as it normally is. We've got an accident. Let's see, we're sitting on the. Well, let's see. Where is that one? Oh, that's not to look to. That's right around the Eisenhower. We're inbound right around Congress. Should be off to the lane by the time you get there. And let's see. There's another. We got a vehicle on fire. Well, that's always a good thing. Devon Avenue and Arlington Heights Road. So be careful if you're coming in that way. And, you got an off-ramp closed, Route 53 North at Lake Cook Road, so get a heads up on there. That's sure to cause some delays for you coming in this morning. Waukegan Road at Deerfield, that's reported just about 10 minutes ago. Should be still in the process of making your commute a little more difficult. Okay, back to you.
Still haven't given us like an accident north in Belmont like a la Thomas.
Well, unlike Thomas, I did grow up in Chicago, so I do have an idea where the streets are.
He was
got to give him a little slack.
He had people going west on the Dan Ryan once too. I'm going, what do you mean west?
Well,
evidently
cut people a little slack.
Yeah, but yeah, it's actually West 94, so there was a reason for that, type of thing. Anywho, Russell, you still with us?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, I was bantering with you guys, but Audrey muted me. I was saying if you're going west on the Dan Ryan, you're crashing.
Yes. And if you're going west going outbound, you're crashing into the L train or whatever the train
is.
Yeah. We have kind of two iterations. You know what's bizarre, in one man's opinion? What's bizarre is when you look at all the craziness on the right, and sort of the craziness on the left. In some ways, it's sort of the same observations of stuff being not exactly right, and seemingly inability to get together on what I would consider to be constructive fixes, Russell. I mean, is that a crazy assessment, or is that a fair assessment?
Oh, I think that's a pretty fair assessment.
I mean, I think Trump's view of what's wrong with a lot of things is actually pretty darn accurate. And I think, you know, the Bernie Sanders AOC view of kind of what's wrong is sort of accurate too in a lot of ways. And
there's a big thing in the middle, and because both of the parties that we've got seem to be catering to the people on that are not in the middle of the general population, I think we hear pretty extreme things from both sides. If you're one of the 80% of reasonable people in the world, there are things from both sides that you can disagree with.
Right. Let me ask you, back from my education days, not to name names, but I will. I know I popped Milton Friedman's name out all over the place because we talk about the Fed and money supply a lot now, but the guy I actually really loved going to class and listening to was George Stigler. He was a behavioral / political economist. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I learned from him was, he would teach, and I'm into principal, so it's not like it's a, 2 + 2 = 4 kind of thing, is that whenever people, especially from the right, doesn't make them bad, will say, this has to be run like a business, this government, for God's sake. Well, the fact is, it is run like a business in terms of how the political world works. It's just a different business.
Yeah.
And if you take that as the truth, you certainly understand that Donald Trump, even though he might be your most despicable creature you ever came across as an individual, don't ever underestimate what got him there, and what and his and his, yeah. and his knowledge of at least what his group is wants to hear. Okay, and then you have the other side. Now, with the with a lot of with the young Democrats coming up, and or I'll say the old hippie, Bernie Sanders, they're going to pander somewhat to their group, but
yeah.
But there was a time, and I'm going to eventually get to the question, Russell. I mean, if you don't, mm-hmm. everybody doesn't fall asleep first.
I'm still with you.
Yeah, but it used to be that you did what you had to do on the edges to get your money, but you knew all the votes really were in the middle. In the middle, because there was, we had this massive middle class that everybody talks about now, and everybody, I'm going to use the term, misses. I don't know that there's enough people there that you have to, I think that whole, with these people, when I say these people, Trump and the extreme left, what they both clearly understand, that maybe the population is a little slow at getting up there, is that there isn't anybody in there anymore. There's nobody there to pander to. There's not the 70% of the country that has an okay job, has the house, has the kids, has the dog, has the station wagon. It's not there. It's to the point where you don't have to worry about them. Trump clearly won without them, or he got some of them. But I don't know who the thems are anymore. I mean, this whole idea of the average group. I see the median person now. The $53,000 family in Chicago, they're not middle class. The median person, I think, used to be middle class. I think right now, from what my people, I'm going to say that used to be considered middle class, they will tell me you need $100,000 a year as a family to live like our view of the middle class when we grew up was, where you have the home, you have the kids possibly going to private school. I'm talking about Catholic grammar school, not Notre Dame. Where you have the car, you don't have $1 billion on your credit card, you're able to afford a roof when one comes up, where you actually can live, I won't say comfortably, but okay. I think my people tell me that with the taxes, fees, and everything else right now, if you're making the $56,000, God help you if you're paying your own health care. You better be making $100,000 or you're not middle class. And there's no way on earth. I'm going to say $100,000 right now is the top. I'll bet you $1 bet, Russell, if you don't agree with me. I'm going to say $100,000 is the top 13th percentile as a family.
You think so?
Yeah, top 15th. Yeah.
You know, I grew up somewhere that money went a lot farther than it does where I live now. So sometimes I think my view of all of that is skewed. I think across the board it varies from where you're at to where you're at. But in Chicago, if you're willing to live out far out, take the Metro in every day, you can probably get by with a little bit less.
Yes.
But it's not easy.
No.
Yeah.
In some of these areas. Some of these suburban areas, especially the ones that have the best home values, Russell, have the highest percentage of property taxes to go with the home.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Move yourself out to Flossmoor. With the south side, obviously, people don't want to be there for a lot of reasons.
It's nice out there.
I'm saying it's gorgeous.
I've been to Flossmoor before.
Saying you can get, you can get $1.3 million house in Napertucky for $175,000-$180,000 in Flossmoor. Your taxes will be 20.
Yeah. It's still going to cost you money one way or another.
Right.
The taxes mean that you don't really own the property. It just means you're renting the property from the government.
Exactly right. So, yeah. I mean, it's getting very, very, very difficult. And the genesis of this discussion, and by the way, I was cleaning my place, which means I just move stuff around, because if I save something from 10 years ago, I saved it for a reason, right? In 2007, I had a discussion with, on the air, but generally with my significant other, Audrey, who happens to be learning how to use the board this morning, And about whether housing prices were too high in 2007. So I get this piece of paper. Actually, it was two pieces of paper. And it had to do with affordability. And by the way, I'm a little off on what I said earlier, Russell, and I will admit my mistake. This particular article said that at the time, the average house, median house was about $235, just before the housing crash. That's probably right. That's probably right. $235, would you say? So, and mortgage rates, I'm thinking, were 5.5, 6 back then, something like that. So the idea was, if somebody gave you 20% down on the house, or if you saved it, or if you happen to marry a young lady who didn't come to you with credit card debt, she came to you with like a huge chunk to buy a house. Wouldn't that be nice, you know, type of thing? you don't remember.
You know why? You want to know why I laugh? Is I think it was my second date when my wife asked me how much credit card debt I had.
Yeah, it's it's
smart girl.
Well, the people used to come to weddings with like good title, not anymore. You come with anywho. They went through a list of how much people made in Chicago, and this was individual; it wasn't family. So I'll stand corrected on what I said earlier.
They used to do that in Chicago Magazine, tell you what the salaries were for a whole lot of jobs. It was cool.
It got down to if you were in the service industry, as in like restaurant bar, you were like $20-$25. Okay, if you were a regular, let me say this properly, a regular scrub, male or female, sitting in a cubicle downtown doing God knows what, was like $40-$45.
Yeah,
if you were pretty high executive at a bank, not chairman, not a doctor, not a bank, I mean a hospital, it was more like $65-$70. Basically was, you needed $85,000 a year to carry this house with the insurance and the taxes and everything, if you had the 20% to put down. And at that time, for a person, it's not a family, for a person to make $85,000, you were in the top 15% of the percentile. So my immediate thought was, when you have a situation where the median home price is only affordable by the top 15% of the population, you've got a problem, right? You've got a serious mismatch. Now, granted, if both members of the family are working, you can push with that a little, but not so much, because if the second person works, and I'll be politically correct, I'm not saying who's going to work second, the second person works and makes another $40,000, you could very well be pissing 25 that away on home care, you know, outfit to get to work, transportation, second car. I mean, you're not netting anywhere near, if you've got kids, that whole second salary, right?
Right.
So the point being is, when that happens, see, I don't think right now that there is much of a middle class, unfortunately, because that's where I grew up in.
Not like what we were used to.
No. And yeah.
And that's exactly what you're saying too.
So I'm not sure that we're going to see this Bernie or Trump ever coming to the middle and trying to get, quote, what you and I would consider to be a solution for all sides. That's not where the victory is anymore. The victory is in just making sure you hammer down your 30% or 25% and make sure so many other people get disgusted that the turnout is lousy, like it was in the last mayor election here. You know, we got like a 14% turnout. And we've got two people thinking they got a mandate, and they got 75,000 votes out of 2.6 million people. I mean, our politics is starting to sink to the point where I'm not even sure it's representative. I mean, in some areas. Now, we did have a huge turnout for the last federal election, right? Huge turnout for the midterm election, correct? I believe it was the midterm we had the huge
turnout. It was decent for a midterm.
But the presidential was nowhere near as big as when Obama ran, correct?
Right, right.
But, I mean, I'm saying politically, if you come from the George Stigler school, watch what these guys are doing, guys and ladies. And it may seem really dumb to you and me, but I'm not so sure it is. Because I think they know. I think they know what they're doing politically. They know their business.
You know, that's the one thing that I do defend the current president with, is I do think he knows what he's doing a little bit more than people think.
He knows how to inflame.
I think a lot of things are calculated. Now, what I actually think happened last week was he got knocked off his game. I think the being on the other side of the world, while things that were very detrimental to him were happening in Washington D.C.,
yeah,
I think that was the main reason. I think this is an easy statement too. That was the main reason that that things did not go well at the summit. His mind was somewhere else.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
I think he can be. He's very calculating, but he's like maybe low end chess calculating. What's that game that's one step up from? Is it Go? The one that they say is strategically harder than chess. Whatever it is.
Whatever.
That's the one that maybe the Dems are playing against him now, and he's not exactly sure how to react.
Well, the one with Spack and Kirk used to play with the three dimensional chess.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that even really is a game, but but now we have, are people really looking for revenge? I mean, I understand that if the Republicans treat the Dems like bleep when they're in charge, or the Dems treat the Republicans like bleep, that there's a certain amount of revenge when you come through the other time. But someplace, somewhere, somebody's got to stand up and say enough. You know, I don't care Hatfields and McCoys who shot the first shot. Get over it. Mm-hmm. You know, man, and we're at that stage, but it's getting worse, not better. And we have people, you know, to come on the show that I think are really bright. Say, you know, who wrote this article? I found this piece of paper too. Russell, out of all the pieces of paper, who married Tricky Dick's two daughters? One of them married the guy from the
Eisenhower.
Well, who's the other one? The other one married some other guy. He's now in some Republican think tank, and he's a real bright guy. He's held mm-hmm. a bunch of offices and always done a good job. But he claims that this will not end until we hit bottom. For God's sake.
That's usually what it takes.
But what makes you think, I mean, I was talking the other day, and I know you're learning on all this stuff, so I wanted your opinion. That is so damn dangerous. That is so damn dangerous.
It is.
I mean, we let ourselves hit bottom before World War II. We were two bombs on an aircraft carrier that maybe could have been in Honolulu in Pearl Harbor when they just happened to be out of you know, the whole world being different.
I still think we would have won. I just think it would have taken longer.
I think we would have stopped.
See, I think you and I had this discussion last week, and I've been kind of hung up on it. I think really, if we had been more focused on the Pacific than Europe, I think the Japanese would have been defeated, but things may have gone differently in Europe.
Well, we had the Europe First strategy for 5 years before. We were already talking about
it. I think the mood of the nation was much more vengeful going west than going east.
Well, if Hitler had not declared war on us.
If we had had to put forth the amount of effort that was needed to win over there, and let's just say that, you know, we were able to fight basically two wars at once as a country at that time. If we had to choose one or the other, I'll guarantee you we would have gone after Japan instead of after Europe first.
The thing that saved Roosevelt with his plans that he and Churchill had in place for really 3.5 years, if it was when Hitler declared war on us.
Yeah, which was just absolute stupidity.
Yeah. Yeah, it was total stupidity. Because Roosevelt would have had a real time, he would have had real trouble rousting the whole country up to go against Japan and turn around and go the other way if they hadn't declared war. But yeah.
Oh yeah. But no, I think if we had to have chosen which one to win, I think we would have gone after Japan more than Europe.
I'm just saying logistically, if they would have, I think it's pretty much a guarantee that if the aircraft carriers would have been in Pearl, they would have taken Midway. Correct? Mm-hmm. And if you took Midway, I think with nobody left in Pearl, I think you take Hawaii. If you do that, and they were to, and all of a sudden they come back to Washington and say, by the way, I'm not advocating this. I'm just saying, if they would have come back and said, tell you what, we'll give you Midway and Hawaii back. We just want Singapore. We want the stuff we've taken, and we'll leave each other alone. I'm not so sure that doesn't win the day.
That's kind of like, just to that, in my mind, that would be like after 9/11, if you know, if Bin Laden had said, "Just leave us alone and leave us in our place, and we'll leave you alone from here on out." I don't think we would have gone with that one.
Well, we have overwhelming strength now. We didn't have back then.
Well,
big difference.
I think we would have gotten our strength. We got our strength together.
I know, but I mean,
we had strength in numbers. We had huge strength in natural resources.
I'm saying to launch all this.
Yeah.
Can you imagine launching the convoys out of San Francisco Bay?
No, we probably would have had to have gone around. We'll never know.
What I'm saying is,
we'd have gone out of Virginia and gone around South America, but eventually we would have. I just don't think that for the long term, the way that Japan was expanding, they had a real natural resource problem.
Well,
that's basically what caught up with both.
Well, they
both
would,
of them.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, and I'm not advocating. My point is,
no, I know,
and I think you agree on the point that when you let yourself hit rock bottom, there's a huge risk there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a massive risk there. I mean, and we're reaching a point here. It's not like the Great Depression, but if you ever read, not yet, but almost mentally, it almost seems like it in a lot of people's minds. You ever read Arm & Hammer by Arm & Hammer?
No.
Well, it is a... Skip the last 4 or 5 chapters when he's running tells the name of the place, the oil company, Occidental. Nobody cares about that. The first 10 or so are absolutely spectacular of what it was like growing up in the Depression, you know, living... And he ended up being a very wealthy man because he sold tincture of ginger, which had alcohol in it, through drugstores, and people would put ginger ale in there and had a highball. So people were drinking in the drugstores. And he was selling case after case and stuff. He was making a fortune. Anyway, but the point is that a lot of what you think happened, a lot of the stuff his father was 1936, 37 or whatever, ended up going to jail because he went to a communist rally. Okay, now, he said his dad was never a communist, but let's put it this way. In 1937, for the average schmuck to think that maybe this system ain't working out so hot, it's not like you wouldn't think of that. And there's a lot of people now thinking our system ain't working out so hot for them. And I'd like to fix our system instead of it keep going that way. And I want to fix our industry so people don't keep looking at it and saying it looks like a bunch of crooks. I'd rather fix it than have that happen. I mean, where are the fixers? Where are the people just playing, wait a minute, let's quit arguing on the extremes. Let's fix some of this stuff so it actually works again for us. I mean, and I don't see that person on the horizon, do you? This is my concern.
No, I don't.
And I'm going to say everybody on the left
and
everybody on the right.
And the only way that somebody could be that person is if they run as some sort of an independent and you can't get elected in our country as an independent.
Right. So I don't see how you get there from here, to be honest with you.
Well, the way you get there is we bottom out, and people are so sick of the people that the two parties that are running things that you have enough people run over to a third party. But you know, that's going along with, I think it's Eric Cox or something like that that married one of the Nixon daughters.
Yeah,
we got to bottom out first.
Yeah.
Because what I'm talking about is
you only got 10 seconds, bud.
It's an extreme occurrence.
Yeah.
And in order to, it's kind of like what Rahm Emanuel said that I think
interested
a little bit. You can't ever waste a good,
right.
good crisis.
All right, bud. We'll talk to you next week.
We're not at the crisis. Right?
Enjoy yourself out in New York. Fly back safe. S&P futures down 250. Nasdaq futures down 3. We'll be back tomorrow. Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.